Hey everybody, good morning, and welcome to EAG Church Online. My name is John, I'm one of the pastors here at the church, and it is a joy and a privilege to open up God's Word with you today, especially on this day. This weekend we are having a special Sunday to celebrate those in our church family who are going into new territory. Specifically, we've got a couple of students in our church who just had their first week of college, so Luke and Kylie, shout out to you guys, we love you, we're proud of you. And we are so thankful that we got to celebrate you this weekend. You guys are awesome. And then along with that, we've also got some other students who are starting new grades and celebrating new ages. And it really is that one time of year where we're all heading into the fall reset. Typically speaking, there are two major resets that we all go through every year. The first reset happens obviously in January with the new year. And then the second reset tends to happen right around late August, early September, basically where we are right now. And that fall reset, that second reset, is especially significant for students. Obviously, some students are freshmen, and so they're discovering their new high school or their new college campus for the first time, and they're getting ready to lay the groundwork for the next 4 years of their life, so that's exciting and wonderful and awesome. And then on the flip side of that, there are other students who are seniors, and they're getting ready to say goodbye to 4 years worth of friends and familiarity and good memories, and now they've got to figure out what the future looks like after grad. So the students are all going through a major reset, and maybe you're going through a reset as well. Perhaps you're in a place in life where maybe you've moved. Maybe you've moved houses or cities or states. I know that in our EAG family, we've had some newcomers who have moved a long ways away from different parts of the country, and we're so thankful that their resets brought them to our church family. We love having them. So maybe you've moved, maybe you've started a new job, maybe you've said goodbye to a dear friend or a special loved one, or maybe, just maybe, perhaps you're heading into a total reset of the unknown. Perhaps you're in that place where everything familiar to you has been taken away and left in the past. You have no idea what the future holds or how you're going to make it to the end of 2022 with your sanity intact. You're stepping away from where you've been and you're finding yourself in completely new territory. And that kind of new territory, that kind of drastic reset, is exactly the place where God's people, the people of Israel, found themselves in the passage of Scripture that we're going to study today. If you have your Bibles, either a digital Bible or an analog Bible, I invite you to turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8. And as you're turning there, let's take a look at the context. Let's take a look at the backstory of what we're about to read. Now, Deuteronomy is part of an historical timeline in the Bible that we call the Exodus. And if you've grown up in church, maybe you're familiar with how the Exodus runs and how it starts. The Exodus starts with God's people, the Israelites, being slaves in Egypt. They suffered under a brutal regime that mistreated them and victimized them and terrorized them, basically, for 400 years. And then just when it seemed like God's people had no hope, God called a man named Moses. Maybe you've heard of him. God called a man named Moses to set his people free and lead them out of Egypt into a new land, the Promised Land. And that new Promised Land was a wonderful gift of new territory from God. It was a land of freedom, vitality, security, everything that Israel needed. So God set his people up for tremendous success. And initially, as we read in the Bible, we see that the Exodus got off to a pretty good start. Israel escaped Egypt in a miraculous move from God, and then Moses and his brother Aaron led the Israelites through the wilderness. It wasn't easy, but they made progress day by day, week by week, and then the Israelites eventually got to a point where they were just about to enter the Promised Land. They were right on the border, right on the edge of an amazing future, but then something went horribly wrong. The Bible says in the book of Numbers, chapter 13, that when Israel arrived at the border of the Promised Land, they got spooked by the natives. They got distracted and thrown off by the enemies and the challenges that they would have to conquer in order to enter new territory. And at this point, what Israel should have done was to stop and remember what God had done for them thus far. God had miraculously freed them from slavery in Egypt. He had also provided for their needs. He had kept them safe. He had guided them and loved on them all throughout the wilderness. So God had brought them this far. He wasn't going to abandon them now. But the people lost sight of that. And instead of remembering God, they rebelled. Numbers 13 describes how those who scouted the promised land went off the deep end. A whole bunch of the spies gave a negative report, a bad report about how the land was impossible and the enemies were impossible and God had basically tricked them and misled them into a really hopeless scenario. And that bad report, the Bible says, led to a national rebellion, a national temper tantrum that we read about in Numbers chapter 14. Let's go take a look. Numbers 14, then the whole community broke into loud cries, and the people wept that night. All the Israelites complained about Moses and Aaron, and the whole community told them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to die by the sword? Our wives and little children will become plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? And God said, well then, if you would rather die in the wilderness than go into the land which I have provided, I'll give you what you want. And on top of that, all of those children whom you accused me of abandoning and misleading, I'm going to take care of them, but I'll see to it that you don't last. Your children are the ones who will survive to see the promised land. And while they survive, you won't. Numbers 14, 21 through 23, God says, as surely as I live, and as the whole earth is filled with the Lord's glory, none of the men who have seen my glory, throw women in there too, none of the men who have seen my glory and the signs I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, none of the ones who have tested me these 10 times and did not obey me, none of them will ever see the land, the new territory I swore to their fathers. None of those who despised me will see it. An entire generation, everyone aged 20 and over, the Bible tells us in Numbers 32:11, an entire generation missed out on a glorious new territory and a glorious new future from God because they neglected to remember Him. The parents died, and their kids ended up as wanderers in the wilderness for 40 miserable years. And out of that tragedy, that brings us to the passage that we're looking at today in Deuteronomy. 40 years after that initial rebellion happened in Numbers 14, the children from that time are now adults with families and children of their own. And this new generation has an opportunity to succeed where the previous generation failed. Moses, who's writing the book of Deuteronomy, at this point in time, he is in his final weeks of life, and he will ultimately not survive to see this next generation cross over into the promised land. And so, the book of Deuteronomy, where we're studying today, this book is basically Moses' last will and testament. These are the final instructions that Moses is going to give to the Israelites before he dies and they leave the wilderness for good. And so, what we're going to do is we're going to go through Deuteronomy chapter 8. We're going to examine the instructions that God gives to his people through Moses about how to enter new territory. It's going to be a fascinating study of God's word, but before we go there, let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you that you are the one who leads us, who provides for us, who guides us. And we thank you, God, that you are available to guide and to speak and to move right now, even on this screen that we're using today. And as we go through your word, Lord God, I pray that you would speak, that you would move, and I pray that you would open our eyes and open our ears to see and to hear what your Spirit is saying to us today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's get going. We're going to go through the whole chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 8, starting in verse 1. You must carefully follow every command I am giving you today. And this is Moses speaking to Israel on behalf of God. You must carefully follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase, and may enter and take possession of the land the Lord swore to your fathers. Remember that the Lord your God led you on the entire journey these 40 years in the wilderness, so that he might humble you and test you to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you by letting you go hungry. Then he gave you manna to eat, which you and your fathers had not known, so that you might learn that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out, and your feet did not swell these 40 years. Keep in mind that the Lord your God has been disciplining you, just as a man disciplines his son. So keep the commands of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams of water, springs, and deep water sources flowing in both valleys and hills, a land of wheat, barley, vines, figs, and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land where you will eat food without shortage, where you will lack nothing, a land whose rocks are iron and from whose hills you will mine copper. When you eat it and are full, you will praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. But be careful that you don't forget the Lord your God by failing to keep his command, the ordinances and statutes. Statutes is just another way of saying laws. The ordinances and laws I am giving you today. When you eat and are full, and build beautiful houses to live in, and your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold multiply, and everything else you have increases, be careful. Be careful that your heart doesn't become proud, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the place of slavery. God led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its poisonous snakes and scorpions, a thirsty land where there was no water. He brought water out of the flint-like rock for you. He fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers had not known in order to humble and test you so that in the end he might cause you to prosper. You may say to yourself, my power and my own ability have gained this wealth for me. But remember that the Lord your God gives the power to gain wealth. In order to confirm his covenant, he swore to your fathers, as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God and go after other gods to worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will perish. Like the nations the Lord is about to destroy before you, you will perish if you do not obey the Lord your God. May God bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Now, the scripture that we just read has a central theme that we need to zero in on, and that theme is remembrance. Remembrance. Now, the whole book of Deuteronomy revolves around this theme, but it is especially prevalent in this chapter, because just in chapter 8 alone, Moses gives at least 7 different commands regarding remembrance. 7 different times he uses words like keep and remember and do not forget. And here is why remembrance is so important when entering into new territory. Remembrance of the God we know will guide us through the territory that we don't know. Remembrance of the God we know will guide us through the territory that we don't know. The whole reason that Israel originally failed to enter into their new territory was because they failed to remember God. They didn't fail just because they got scared. Because all of us are going to get scared. We're all going to face fears and worries as part of this life that we go through. It wasn't just that they got scared. It wasn't just that they got discouraged. Because all of us are going to get discouraged. We're all going to feel sad and down and come up against challenges and obstacles that feel impossible. So they didn't fail because they got scared. They didn't feel because they got discouraged. They failed because they neglected to remember God. And what Moses is saying in this passage, chapter 8, what Moses is saying is that the failure of the old generation and the success of the next generation is going to depend on remembrance. So in keeping with this theme of remembrance, what I want to do over the rest of our study today is I want to examine 3 areas of remembrance. 3 kind of points that will help us navigate new territory as God leads us. And here they are. Number 1, remember where you came from. Number 2, remember where you are going. And number 3, remember who goes with you. All remember. Remember where you came from, where you're going, and who goes with you. Let's check out that first one. Remember where you came from. In the first part of the chapter, Moses starts out by reminding the Israelites about the hard lessons that they had to learn in the wilderness. And he even goes so far as to say that God led them in the wilderness to humble them and to test them, to know what they were made of. to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. And so we see this divine fatherly tension where God is providing for Israel while also disciplining them, also testing them. Verse 5, keep in mind that the Lord has been disciplining you just as a man disciplines his son. And so in these first few verses, Moses is saying, remember where you came from. Remember the hard lessons that God had to teach you. Remember what you had to learn, and also remember how God provided for you, how he blessed you, how he kept you going and kept you sustained through that difficult wilderness season. You know, I'm sure a lot of us can think about some very hard times that we've gone through. But out of those hard times, if we remember our past the right way, if we remember where we came from the right way, I fully believe that we will see the hand of God at work. Amen? Type an amen if you believe that. If we look back and remember our past the right way, we will see God at work. We'll see him teaching us, breaking us, and lovingly reshaping us into the man and woman that he wants us to become for his kingdom. In my own life, I think back to 2019. That was the last year that I was in Canada during a season where I was waiting for my visa to come through so that I could move to the States legally. And that waiting period was a really discouraging wilderness season. During that time, I was working part-time at a car rental company, and that company had a very decidedly non-Christian flavor to it, which was a bit of a challenge for my character. So I was working part-time with the rental car company, and then on the church side, to keep my ministry credentials active, my former Canadian district had me serving as a volunteer interim worship pastor at a small church in Edmonton. And it was a very nice church, a very friendly church, but they were going through some hard times, and that was a very difficult season to navigate with them. And then on top of all that, on top of the stuff with the car company and with the church, I didn't know when I was going to leave Canada. I wasn't sure how soon my visa would come. There was no set in stone date. There was a lot of limbo. And because of all that limbo, I had to turn down a lot of music opportunities and employment opportunities, a lot of things that I really wanted. And I can remember in that limbo season some really frustrated prayer times. I'd have my Bible, I'd have my prayer journal, I'd be writing pages and pages and pages, just kind of venting. And I would say, God, why aren't you moving? Why am I still stuck here? Why are things not turning out in the way and the timing that I want them to? And it's only now, after 2.5 years of living in the United States, that I am finally able to look back and remember what God was teaching me in that season. With the car company, God was teaching me how to carry myself around non-believers. With the small church, God was teaching me how to be a servant, how to be faithful, how to be a good minister, skills which have been extremely important for serving at EAG. And then with the visa, God was teaching me how to wait, teaching me how to serve him and love him faithfully, regardless of the uncertainty and the limbo that surrounded my life at that time. And so listen, if you find yourself going into new territory today, always make sure to remember where you came from. Take self-inventory of the lessons that God has been teaching you. And remember how he has provided for you. Remember where you came from. Remember where you came from. And second, remember where you are going. Moving on in the text, if you look at verses 5 and 6, you will notice a particular word which connects those verses to verse 7. And that word, it's a small word, a three-letter word, but a very powerful word. It's the word for. Check this out. Keep in mind that the Lord your God has been disciplining you, so keep his commands and walk in his ways, fear him, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. There's a key principle that we see in this cluster of verses, and that principle is that discipline prepares for destiny. Discipline prepares for destiny. That is the power of the for in that verse. The reason God disciplined his people in the past was so that they would be ready and prepared for where they were going. See, when it comes to the Exodus in the Bible, one of the things that I think we often take for granted is that the Promised Land was not an easy land. I mean, yes, it was a good land. And the Hebrew word for good, I know we read it in one of our verses on the screen a bit earlier, that word good in Hebrew does mean favorable, pleasant, beautiful, without trouble. But even pleasant things require discipline, do they not? Think about marriage. A healthy marriage, a healthy household and family life requires discipline. A healthy job, a healthy career with good rapport and a nice raise and all of the things that we want from a job, a pleasant career requires discipline. And then same with our health, pleasant health and a pleasant physical body, which I don't quite have right now. A pleasant health requires discipline. And so in Israel's case, God knew that the new territory where they were going was going to require a lot of discipline and a lot of hard work on their end. Think about it. There were still enemies to be fought and battles to be won. And then think about this. All of the giants that the old generation failed to conquer, they were still there. No one had touched them. No one had fought against them. So that leftover problem was still lingering for the new generation to take care of. And then not only was there all of the colonizing and the fighting and the settling, but on top of that, you think of the resources that God described, how there was ore to be mined and crops to be harvested. And, you know, mining takes hard work. Harvesting and farming takes hard work. So there was a lot of hard work to be done in the Promised Land, but none of that changed the fact that the Promised Land was still an amazing gift from God. And as long as God's people walked with Him, the land where they were going would be a source of tremendous blessing. And how true is that for us? I feel like that applies on two levels, where on one hand we have our heavenly promised land that we're going to after we die, but then at the same time I also believe, based on what we see in the scripture, that there's also kind of a temporal earthly promised land. It's the promised land of God's sovereignty and His leading and His blessing. And I think we can all agree that even in God's blessing, as we look throughout our lives, we all know that life is a series of hills and valleys, a series of ups and downs. And as long as we're on this side of eternity, even with God leading us faithfully, all of us will experience the hard work of the promised land. All of us will experience the extremes of victory and defeat, glory and tragedy, joy and pain. But when we remember where we're going, we can rest 100% certain in the rock-hard reality that God's new territory is a good territory. It's a good plan, a good destiny that will bring about His purposes and His fruit in our lives. With this in mind, listen to what Moses says in verse 16. God fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers had not known in order to humble and test you so that in the end He might cause you to prosper. And it's very much like what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 8:28, a famous Sunday school verse, a Hobby Lobby verse. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. So remember, God has good plans and a good destination for us, but good plans are not necessarily easy plans. A good destiny is not necessarily an easy destiny. Good territory is not necessarily easy territory. And there will be times, friends, when new territory will demand deep sacrifice. There are going to be times when new territory will demand some very hard decisions, some costly yeses, some painful noes. And we see this clearly in the Bible. Abraham had to say no to familiarity and yes to uncertainty. Esther had to say no to security and yes to danger. And then, of course, Jesus had to say no to heavenly glory and yes to earthly humanity. We see this in the Bible, and we also see this in the lives of modern-day Christ followers. I think about pastors. I'm friends with a lot of pastors by God's grace. I love them. They're amazing people. And one of the things that I really respect about pastors is that many of them, at least 99% of the ones who I know, many of them have had to say no to a lucrative career and yes to obscure ministry. Serving in small towns, taking the gospel to the rural masses. Many pastors have to say no to a career, to a lucrative career, and yes to obscurity. Then you think of missionaries. Missionaries have to say no to their homeland, no to the comforts of America, and they have to say yes to a whole new way of life and a whole new country with new culture and new challenges and new stresses. And then not only that, but you think about many Christians around the world. Even right now, as you're hearing this message, there are Christians who have chosen to say no to safety and yes to persecution. Persecution that involves loss of freedom, loss of property, loss of family, even loss of life. And how can these people make these sacrifices? It's because they remember where they are going. And they know that no matter what comes their way, good or bad, God's territory is ultimately a good territory. It's not an easy territory, but it is a good territory, and it is so important that we remember that. Remember where you came from. Remember where you are going. And finally, remember who goes with you. Remember who goes with you. At the end of Deuteronomy 8, Moses gives a warning. And I know that this is a bit of a darker passage, but I think it's so important that we read the whole counsel of God and that we listen to what He has to say to us. This is verse 17 of chapter 8. And Moses warns the people, "You may say to yourself, 'My power and my own ability have gained this wealth for me.' But remember that the Lord your God gives the power to gain wealth." Don't forget God. Remember that the Lord your God gives the power to gain wealth. In order to confirm His covenant, He swore to your fathers, as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God and go after other gods to worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will perish. It's not you might or you could, but you will. Like the nations the Lord is about to destroy before you, you will perish if you do not obey the Lord your God. Listen, I know that this is dark, I know it's heavy, but the reason we need to talk about this is because God knows that new territory has new temptations. That's why Moses made that mentioned that line about forgetting God and going after other gods. Moses knew that the new territory would come with new idols, new practices, new distractions. And the same applies to us. New territory comes with new temptations. And listen, if we forget God in the midst of new territory, if we fall asleep at the wheel of our spiritual life, and if we are not mindful of the God who goes with us, those new temptations can lure us and snare us into a very dark place. A place where not only do we reject the vitality of relationship with God, but even worse, we expose ourselves to the consequences of rebellion against God. That was the whole reason that that first generation of Israelites got in trouble back in Numbers 14. They did not remember the God who went with them, and that lack of remembrance exposed them to the consequences that Moses was just describing. New territory has new temptations. And not only is that true for the Israelites, friends, but that is also true for us. Listen, if you're entering new territory at an older age, say 50 and over, you might be tempted by new discontentments, new obstacles and frustrations that you never had to deal with when you were younger. And you might be tempted to say, "Woe is me, my best days are behind me, and I've got sickness, loneliness, family problems, or a whole bunch of other problems and hassles that I didn't ask for, but I got them anyway. And why can't I go back to the good old days? Why did God ever lead me into this crazy new territory? I hate it." That's the exact temptation that got the previous Israelite generation in trouble. Think about that. And then on the flip side, if you're entering new territory at a younger age, you might be tempted by new distractions, new thoughts, new paradigms, new voices that you've never had to wrestle and think through critically before. For example, you might be tempted to think, "Well, none of my college friends care about church or about Jesus, so why should I care about Jesus?" Or, "What my textbook says about human origins and sexuality sounds a whole lot more convincing than what the Bible says about human origins and sexuality. So why should I believe the Bible instead of my textbook?" Or, "Life without God looks a lot more exciting than life with God. So why serve God when it would be a lot more fun to serve myself and be the master of my own destiny, do my own thing, be my own king?" And that was the temptation, by the way, which future generations of Israel were ensnared by. You can read about that mainly in the book of Judges, a couple books after Deuteronomy. Whether we're old or young, all of us are going to face new temptations in new territory. And Moses talks about these new temptations in verse 12. When you eat and are full and build beautiful houses to live in, when things are going great, when you're on a roll and when you've got momentum and when you feel that you're invincible, be careful that your heart doesn't become proud and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the place of slavery. And then right after warning about new temptations, Moses gives the antidote for temptation, and that is remembrance. Remembrance of the God who goes with us. Excuse me. That's why Moses says in verse 15, God led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its poisonous snakes and scorpions, a thirsty land where there was no water. He brought water out of the flint-like rock for you. He fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers had not known in order to humble and test you so that in the end he might cause you to prosper. So Moses tells Israel, and he also tells us, Israel, church, look at your history. Remember what God has done. Remember what he's doing. And remember who he is. Because the God in our history is a faithful God. His history proves that he is faithful. God is faithful. He is holy. He is majestic. He is loving. He is provider for the poor, refresher for the tired, healer of the sick, resurrector of the dead, sustainer of the living. That is the God who has written your history. And he is the same God who goes with you into new territory. Psalm 107. Thinking about history, Psalm 107 is a psalm which revolves all around history. It's a long song, kind of a musical history book about Israel, where they've been, where they're going. And listen to how this psalm ends. This is Psalm 107, verse 43. Those who are wise will take all this to heart. They will see in our history the faithful love of the Lord. Wow. Wow. How many of you can say that you have seen God's faithful love in your history? You know, I look back on some of the hard times, some of my own history, from when I was in high school and college, and some of the stuff I went through, some of that was self-inflicted, my own stupidity. Some of that was beyond my control. But when I remember the God who has gone with me, I can see in my history the faithful love of the Lord. I really can. I think about way back when I was wounded in a dysfunctional church as a teenager. And when the pain of my church experience left me with more questions than answers, God's faithful love was there. When I was fired from a job at age 17, and when the boss who fired me told me, "You're more trouble than you're worth, and we're better off with no one," when those words went like a bullet into my spirit, God's faithful love was there. A few months later, when I started Bible college as an angry young man who had a lot of bravado on the outside but fragile woundedness on the inside, when all of that pain began to pile up, God's faithful love was there. And then 10 years ago, in January of 2012, when all of that pain had and unresolved anger, when all of that anger found me at the edge of my bed with a knife in my hand, and when I wrote in my prayer journal, "I don't want to live anymore, but I'm afraid that suicide might send me to hell, so I'll just wait for an accident instead," when I wanted to kill myself, and when Satan was waging war for my life, God's faithful love was there. I can see in my history the faithful love of the Lord, and that same faithful love can be found in your history too. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, God invites you. And God is asking you to let him be part of your history, to be part of your story, to be part of your life. Let God into your history today. Allow God to go with you today. And allow yourself to come to that point where you're not cold to God, you're not averse to God, but you want to be close to God, and you want to seek him, and you want to remember him, because you know that remembrance of the God we know will guide us through the territory that we don't know. Friend, listen, when you invite Jesus into your life, you can be 100% certain that he will be with you. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, "Whoever comes to me, I will by no means cast away." Listen, Jesus wants to be with you. Jesus wants to be part of your story. He wants to walk with you into new territory so that you're not facing a challenge alone. You're not facing a trial alone, but you are facing that challenge and that trial with an almighty God who loves you, who cares about you, and who has written out your story perfectly. A God who wants to be in relationship with you. Remembrance of the God we know will guide us through the territory that we don't know. Maybe you find yourself in new territory today. A new beginning, a new ending, something exciting, something painful. But wherever you find yourself, keep remembering. Keep remembering the God that you know who will help you through the territory that you don't know. Remember where you came from, how God has led you and provided for you and brought you so far. Remember where you are going, how God has a good plan for you. And it's not an easy plan, but it's a good plan. It's His plan, written out perfectly for your blessing and His glory. And then remember who goes with you. Listen, you have never gone through this life alone. Never. Not one day. Even before you were born, the Bible says in Psalm 139 that all of your days had been pre-written, perfectly orchestrated, perfectly timed, and perfectly established by a perfect, loving Father who created you, who loves you, who is guiding you, and who wants to be part of your history. As you walk with God, as you seek Him, as you remember the God you know, He will guide you through the territory that you don't know. And with that in mind, I want to close by looking at a passage from Jeremiah 29. This is a personal letter that God wrote to His people when they were about to go into exile in Babylon. God's people had rejected Him. They had fallen for those new temptations over the years and centuries. They had abandoned God to go after other gods. And just as Moses forewarned at the end of Deuteronomy chapter 8, God's people were facing some painful consequences because of their lack of remembrance. But even as God has to discipline His people, listen as He describes the relationship that He wants to have with them. This is Jeremiah 29, starting in verse 10. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. I know where you've been and I know where you're going. I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future, to give you a good territory. And then you will call on me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Friends, may that be our prayer. Listen, if you maybe you're hearing this and you're thinking, well, I can't remember God. It's too hard. God feels too distant. Listen, God is not distant. But you and I, we are distant. We're distant because of our sin, because of our humanness, because of our frailty. And so may I encourage you today, the blood of Jesus has made it possible for you to seek God. The blood of Jesus has made it possible for you to get to that place where you're not distant from God, but you can remember Him. You can walk with Him. You can be known by Him and loved by Him. And so in light of that, perhaps you've been listening to this message and maybe you're thinking, well, John, I'm in new territory, but I don't know who's going with me. I feel alone. I feel stressed. I feel burdened and overwhelmed. Listen, God wants to go into that new territory with you. God wants to be with you today. I know it sounds so simple, but it is so profound. God wants to be with you. We literally just read, God invites us to seek Him and find Him. And that's something that can happen when we seek Him with all of our heart. So that no matter where we find ourselves, we can be assured that the God we know will guide us through the territory that we don't know. And listen, again, if you are in new territory today, whatever that looks like, good or bad, easy or hard, if you're in new territory today, I want to pray for you and I want to pray with you. In a few moments, we're going to have a lower third on the screen with some contact info so that you can message us privately if you'd like us to connect with you and pray with you. We're also going to have a cross motion on the screen in a couple of minutes, and we're also going to have some music playing just so that you can get real with God, so that you can seek Him and you can find Him right here in this online space. And as we get ready to wrap up today, before we head into that space, I just want to pray. Lord God, we thank You so much that You are the God who goes before us, behind us, above us, and all around us. You have hedged us behind and before. You have placed Your hand upon us, God. And today, Jesus, we thank You that no matter where we find ourselves, whether it's in new territory or a reset or a challenge or a trial, God, You are there. Lord, you are so faithful and so loving and so consistent. And we thank you, God, that we don't have to go through this life alone. But God, you sent Jesus so that we could be with you. You sent Jesus so that we could remember you, so that we could walk in covenant relationship with you. We thank you, Jesus, for the freedom that you give us. We thank you, God, that we don't have to live our lives apart from you, but God, you can be in our history. And it doesn't matter how long we've lived. No matter what our past looks like, God, you are ready to change our history today, from this moment, right here in this second, on this timestamp. God, you are ready to walk into our story. And so for anyone, God, who is wrestling and who is struggling, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would overwhelm them with your love, with your grace, with your conviction. And I pray, God, that everyone who hears this would have a burning desire to know you, to remember you, and to have that tight, close-knit relationship with you where they can look at their history and they can see you. They can see where they're going and they see you. And they can know that wherever they go, you are there with them. We thank you, God, for your goodness. And I pray for your blessing upon each one who hears. And now may you go with us. And as we have this moment of intimate prayer, God, I pray that you would speak, that you would move, and that you would do the work which only you know how to do. We love you, we bless you, and we pray this in the almighty name of Jesus, the one who died and rose again, so that we could be in right relationship with God, and so that God can be part of our history and part of our story. We love you, we praise you. Amen.